February 19th, 1978.
And
yeah.
You can say your name.
Do I call
it in? You can just write it down. It'll pick it up.
Oh. This is February 19th, 1978. 79. And this is Laura Carey. I'm 70 years old. And I've been around since the horse and buggy days.
What do you remember about your grandparents?
My grandmother was Adelina Yorba, and then she married Ramon Carrillo, which was my grandfather on my mother's side, and my grandfather on my father's side, his name was James Pate, and my grandmother's name was Laura Pate, and my dad's name is Homer Pate.
Did you actually know these people, or did you
Yes. And we used to go out to the ranch, out to their ranch on Sundays, and we'd all have dinner together and go in the old horse and buggy. It was about 5 miles from our ranch to their place. And my dad had quite a few brothers and sisters, and some were half-sisters and half-brothers.
So it was the Pates that you went to visit?
Yeah.
And what about the Yorba Carrillo? Did you know them?
Yes, we went to visit them too on Christmas sometimes, and they lived about 15 miles from us. They lived down the San Juan Canyon. And my grandmother was 87 years old when she passed away, and she passed away in 1934. And my grandfather passed, grandfather Carrillo passed away a few years before then.
So the Carrillos lived in San Juan Canyon.
Yeah.
And where did they live?
They lived near Chino.
And what kind of condition, what was the situation in which they lived? What do you remember about?
Well, they did dry farming. My grandfather did dry farming. And they had some cows to milk, and they had a few horses, and they had a nice ranch out in the Chino.
And how did the Carrillos live?
They were farmers too. They did. They raised barley, and they had some horses that they plowed with at that time and did the farming with.
How about
where
you lived when you were growing up?
Oh, I lived out near Prado. And my father sold our small ranch there, and we went to live down in the mountains at Ramona when I was about 8 years old. We went down there in a covered wagon. It took us about a week to get where we went. And we stopped and camped along the way, and they took some cattle and some horses along too. And we lived there a few years on this ranch. It was 360 acres up in the mountains, and no one had lived there for a long time. There was a lot of rattlesnakes around. And my dad did dry farming. He had quite a few acres of barley. And he had milk cows there. And he sold the milk. And well, we had horses to farm with.
What do you remember about the place you lived in Prado?
Well, we came back there from Ramona and lived there for a long time. When I was about 11 years old, we came back. My uncle had been killed by robbers, and my grandmother wanted to stay at her ranch there. So We lived there until I was about 19, and then I got married. But during that time, we used to go to school, my sister and I and brother. And we used to drive in the horse and buggy at that time. And then later on, we had a car and went in that. We went to Corona High School at that time, and we'd go and play basketball with the other teams like Elsinore and Chino and Riverside. And we didn't beat Riverside. Finally, one year we whipped them. And we used to go to the track meets. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, sometimes we'd go to the dances and have a good time.
Did you just have one brother and one sister?
There was six in my family. I'm the oldest, and my sister Rose, and then my brother Leonard, and sister Lucille, and then Irene. She was born in Ramona. And then my little brother, James.
And there was
children,
yeah. And where did you first go to school? You didn't start
out at Ramona? No. We went to Braddle School for a few years before we went to Ramona. And then when we came back, well, we went to grade school in Corona.
Was Corona like a town then? Was it a big school or was it a really small school?
No, it was pretty good sized school. I can't remember how many were in it. I think 30 of us graduated in 1927, which isn't very many people.
And
for,
you talked about, did you do other kinds of things
for entertainment? Or? Well, we worked out in the garden, and Dad used to have, that was when you could butcher your own pork and like that, and Dad used to raise pigs for us for the table, and then we'd render the lard out in a big kettle out in the yard, and he used to put up salt pork, and we used to can fruit.
When you were growing up, did you have some help around the farm? What kind of jobs did you do?
Well, we didn't do much around the farm.
How come?
Well, there wasn't much for girls to do, and Dad did most of it.
You didn't have to help with the canning?
Oh, yeah, we helped with the canning, and I helped render the lard and that sort of thing. And I used to make pies and cake and that sort of thing. But my mother did most of the cooking.
What other kinds of things did your mother do around the farm?
Well, she did sewing and washing and that sort of thing. There was always a lot to do like that, and we used to help her wash. That's when we didn't have a washing machine.
So, when you were 19, you got married?
Yes.
And what were the circumstances
then? That was during the Depression, and the circumstances weren't very good. It didn't work out very good.
Well, I mean, did you live there, or did you live someplace else? Or?
I went up to San Paul and lived up there for a while with my husband.
What was Santa Paula like?
They grew orange trees up there and fruit trees and that sort of thing. And he worked in the fumigating. When they fumigated the trees, he worked up there.
Were there any oil wells around?
Yes, there was some up on the hills at
that time. The people that worked in agriculture weren't bothered by them?
No, they... There wasn't that many at that time.
And did you work or did you
No, I didn't work then. had that house, and that's about all, Dan, and fruit and vegetables.
Okay, you said this marriage didn't last. What did you do after that?
I worked different places. I worked in Rialto Inn and served dinners and like that for the people that owned the place. And then later on I worked in Beverly Hills and for Mrs. Masters. She had a beautiful home there and I worked for her for a while.
Okay. About how long did you live in San Paul?
About 2 years.
And it was still during the Depression, or?
Yeah, it was still during the Depression, then.
When you went to Rialto?
Yeah.
And about how long did you live?
I didn't stay in Rialto too long, about a year, I guess.
And when you went to Beverly Hills?
I stayed there 2 years, and then I...
Was it still during the Depression when you went to Beverly Hills?
It was 1936, I guess. It was kind of getting older, I think, at that time.
And you were going to tell about what you did in Beverly Hills before I interrupted you.
Well, I just helped do housework and clean in like that. That's kind of the job I had. I didn't go to school to learn how to do anything.
Well, that's
right
from high school.
Yes.
And did you live there, or did you live someplace else?
I lived where I worked.
And what did you think about that kind of work? Did you like it?
It was all right. It didn't bother me. It was a way to make a living.
And how did you happen to leave that job?
I decided to marry Ivan Perry. So I married him and 1941, and pretty soon the war came along in 44. So I went to work then, and he went to the Army. I did guard duty for the auxiliary military police down here along the waterfront for about a year. And then he was supposed to go overseas, so I went back east to see him. I had only 6 weeks leave of absence, and that wasn't long enough. They didn't send him, so I didn't come back. I just resigned, and I worked back there for a while in the motel.
Okay,
look,
you kind of got ahead of me. Where did you go to live in 1941
in
the
West
Bay
Long Beach, California.
And what was it like in Long Beach?
Oh, it was a real jumping town. There was a lot to do here. There was dances to go to and parties, and they had the fleet here, and the town was busy at that time.
Did you work?
I didn't work for a while. And then I went to work at for the military police.
So you just kept out?
Yes, up until then.
And specifically, what did you do with the military police?
I did guard duty. Sometimes we went to work at 11:30 at night, and you had to walk around and see that everything was all right and not let anyone in that wasn't supposed to come in, and you had to wear a 45, and you had to have he went out for guard practice and target practice a couple of times a week.
What did you guard specifically?
The dock, the ships, and the materials that were in the warehouses.
And where did you live in Long Beach?
At 2188 Locust, on Hill and Locust.
Did you live near the oil field?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you said you went back east to visit where? Where did you go specifically?
Alexandria, Virginia. He was stationed at Fort Belvoir. And that's not very far from Mount Vernon. It's a little ways from there. But it's beautiful country. I went back there in March. And they had a few light snows.
And what did you think about the snow? Was that unusual?
I didn't like it. I'm Californian, so I didn't like that too much. I had to buy gloves there.
And what kind of work did you do back there?
I worked in a motel. I made up the rooms and did the laundry.
And then how did you get back to California? Or when?
I was back there about a year, I guess. Not quite that long. My husband was transferred from Fort Belvoir to Camp McCoy, Wisconsin. So I went there. And I tried to find a job, and there wasn't much work. They only paid $12 a week to work in the tobacco house, and $12 a week to work in the dime stores and like that. So that didn't suit me, so I went to work at the laundry at Camp McCoy, and it was hard work. And I worked on the press and did the pressing, and I was there from May until September.
And did they pay more than $12?
Yes, they did. You worked 6 days a week, 9 hours a day. I think I made about $27 a week. But that wasn't too bad. Because my room only cost about, how much was it? $1.75, I think, a week for the room. And then you could eat at the at Camp McCoy in the commissary, and it wasn't expensive. And then when my husband would be off duty, well, I was off on Sunday, so we used to catch the Hiawatha train and go to La Crosse. It was beautiful over there, and the parks were pretty, and it was a good place to go for a walk and just kind of relax.
Had you made more than $12 a week in Virginia at the motel? Is that what
you made? $20 a week in my board and room, and that was good pay. Some of the girls worked for the officers' wives, and they made $10 a week in their board and room, which was more work than I had to do, I think, and more confining. I used to have time to go out to Mount Vernon and go different places.
Okay, so how did you
get
some, where did you go after the
process? Well, my husband had a furlough, so we came home on the train, and we went to Chicago and got the train from Chicago, came back to Long Beach, and then he had about 2 weeks that he could be on leave, and then he went back to Camp McCoy. And I stayed here. And I worked in the fish cannery for a while, but it wasn't very steady work, and I didn't appreciate it too much.
Why not?
Well, I didn't like the odor. And I wasn't a very fast worker for that sort of thing. But it wasn't steady work anyway, so then I applied at National Biscuit Company, and they needed someone to work in the warehouse at that time. They needed men, but they didn't have men, so I was strong, and they gave me a job, and we used to unload the big trucks that came in with crackers and cracker meal, and we put it on smaller trucks and stack it around in the warehouse.
I'm really curious about what you did as a fish canner.
What
did you do specifically?
We packed mackerel, and you take part of them. Part of the tails go down, and part go up so they fit in the can. And then they're cooked. I didn't do that, but I did packing.
They come to you already cut up?
Yeah.
And you put them in the can?
Mm-hmm.
And it still smells bad.
Yes.
Okay, so you worked at the National Biscuit Company?
Yes, I worked there about 10 months.
And
then I just left.
Did you have a better prospect, or?
No, I got tired of working there. My husband had come home.
And so then
you
just kept house?
I kept house for a while, and then I worked for the Hilton Hotel. I went to work there.
Where were you living at the time that you worked at the fish cannery?
On Locust Avenue. We kept that same apartment all the time that we were back in.
And what Hilton Hotel did you work for?
The one in Long Beach on Ocean Boulevard.
And what did you do there?
I did the maid work.
And what kind of a hotel was it? This was what?
Let's see.
40s or 50s?
It was 46, I guess.
Right after the
war. Yeah. And it was a nice hotel. At that time, it was run by Hilton. And they had real nice housekeeper, and she was very particular. She had been to pass inspection every morning. You had to have your hair fixed, and if it was all applying, you'd better put a hairnet on it. And you had to have practical shoes to wear, and your uniform had to be neat. They furnished your uniform, but you had to, and you had to do your work good too.
Well, what was it like there?
Well, it was always full. We had conventions, and there was people that used to come from Texas in the summertime, and they'd stay. And then in the wintertime, the people from the east used to come out and stay. And so it was a very busy place.
And
no, there was... wasn't quite that many. They advertised 300.
So were there a lot of people who did the
10,000 reviews? Yes, there was quite a few girls at work. Each one had 16 rooms to do.
And
what
did you have to work really hard to get the
16 done? Yes, you did. You better keep moving and cleaning all the time.
So it was hard work.
Yeah. And I worked there for a long time. And it changed hands quite a few times after Hilton sold it. And some of the people didn't make a very good success of it.
How
come? Well, they didn't have enough capital. You have to have money to run a business.
Yeah. Boom, when the war was on, when it got over, it wasn't booming, you know.
So, the people didn't come to the hotel anymore?
They didn't come like they used to. after it was stopped being the Hilton, it wasn't a good hotel. But now it's a retirement hotel. And it was closed down for 4 years at one time. And at that time, I worked at other places. I worked at the Lafayette, and I worked at International Towers, and I worked at the Capri Hotel.
What kind of a place was the Lafayette to work at? Was it like the Hilton?
I didn't like it as well, and it was harder to clean there because the rooms were big, and it was just harder to clean at that place.
Was it run like the Hilton? Or did
it no, it was run differently. And they brought in a colored help from Los Angeles, and the housekeeper favored them above the other girls. So at first they had a different housekeeper, and then she left, and then this other housekeeper came, and she just had different ideas. So I went from there over to International Towers, and it was a nice place to work too. Real nice place.
Is International Towers a hotel?
It's a residential hotel now. It used to be open to the public, and I guess it still is, but now they rent apartments and like that to people that are steady there most of the time. They used to have conventions and the people that came for a week and left.
It's just that it doesn't sound as familiar to me as the Lafayette or the Hilton or Rager's or whatever it got to be called later on. Where is it located?
It's on Ocean Boulevard near the 600. The 600 apartment.
That way?
Yeah.
And what was it like working there? Was it similar to working at the Hilton?
Well, it was kind of different. It was more like apartments. They had kitchens and like that.
And did that make it harder or easier?
No, it was the easy place to work. It was new. Everything was new. And it was easy to work there. We had a lot of rooms to do, just as many as we had at the other places, but it was easy to work there.
Okay, then why did you leave there and go to the Capri?
Let's see. I think I worked at the Capri before I went to the Lafayette. Can't remember now.
What was it like at the Capri? Do you remember?
Oh, it was a nice little hotel. I liked it. And a beautiful view of the ocean and swimming pool. And when they had the Western Downs Parade, they went past there. And the beauty parade, they used to have the beauty queens in Long Beach at one time. And they'd parade down Ocean Boulevard, but they stopped having that.
Well, was it a pleasant place to work?
Or? Yes, it was very pleasant. And it had porches around the rooms, and you could walk around there, and the ocean view was pretty from there. But they wanted to go to Non-Union, so they closed it and got rid of all the help. So we had to find someplace else to go.
So did you belong to a union?
Yes.
What union did you belong to?
The Culinary Workers. Couldn't think of it.
Something else about
you. No, it's okay.
You want to tell them about your experience? Because he told us that was a nice place, huh? worked there for a while, no?
Well, after I left International Tires, I went back to the old breakers again. It had reopened, so I decided to go back and help clean up the mess, and it really was.
It was close to 40 years, you said?
Yeah. And so there was about 10 of us that were trying to clean up the place and get it in order, and they couldn't get our paychecks out in time. They didn't have enough capital to pay us, so I wasn't gonna. I worked there about 3 months, and when I couldn't get paid, well, I had a chance to go to Pacific Coast Club, so I went there. And I liked it real well, but they went bankrupt. I had hard luck.
Well,
it's funny
you didn't bring it with you.
No, I guess not. I left it behind, and I slid it.
Now, I want to, you know, how many places did you work that you were represented by? Again, was it just at the Capri?
No. All the places I worked except International Towers were union.
And did the union provide you with benefits and services?
I worked at, oh, Pacific Coast Club wasn't union either. So I worked there for 5 years, and then it was time for me to retire by that time, but I didn't get my benefit from the union because you have to work your last 10 years with the union, at least that long.
And was it like in the 50s that you worked at the Pacific Coast Club, or?
It was, about 8 years ago, let's see, about 70.
So it was the last.
Yes, the last management, that's right.
It wasn't the old traditional.
No, but at one time Pacific Coast Club was a real nice place, and I had a large swimming pool. It's Olympic swimming pool size, and I used to have lovely banquets and dances and everything there. And they had nice apartments. They weren't anything elaborate, but they were nice.
And what was it like working there?
Well, it was usually pleasant and not too hard. But one time the elevator broke down, and they didn't get it fixed for quite a while, and we had to carry all the linens up and downstairs, and it was a real problem.
Do you think when you worked there it wasn't quite as fancy or whatever as it had been before?
No, it wasn't. It had started to deteriorate.
In what respect?
Well, I guess it was sort of financial. Because the man that owned it, he wasn't putting too much in to paint and clean up and do things that needed to be done.
And did you continue to live on
Locust? No, I've been out here for about 25 years. We built this house here in 1954.
Did you move from Locust
to here? Yeah. How
did you feel about the union? Did you think it was a good thing to belong to the union?
Did you
brought about better conditions?
Yes. We had good medical. Had our dental work done, and it didn't cost too much, and we went to the clinic, and it didn't cost much for that. We had very good doctors, and it was set that way. And our working conditions, well, I don't know if they help that too much or not.
Well, could you see a difference between the working conditions at places that were unionized?
Well, sometimes the ones that weren't unionized, it wasn't as hard to work there, I thought.
What did you think about the oil workers that you saw around you? I mean, aside from Rick.
Well, I thought they were all hard-working people. And it's dirty work, or it was when they were there, when they were working. And most of them were friendly. And
what about the irregularity of their life? Did that bother you?
No, you just have to get used to it. They'd work a few weeks and then they'd have to find a new job someplace.
And that didn't bother you?
No, because I worked too, and I knew as long as both of us are working, or at least one of us was working, we'd make it.
What kind of things did you do for
your family? I'm not going to tell you. Oh, we used to go and visit our friends, and we'd go to the dances, and we went out to dinner, and that sort of thing. We didn't go and study any place, which would have probably been better for us.
I'm going to turn that off and look at this. Okay?
Right.
Tell about how your grandmother divided the property.
Grandma gave my mother and father the land at Corona. There was 160 acres there. And then she divided the land down the San Ana Canyon, which is near Yorba Linda. And she gave my uncle some of the ground, and my aunt the other part of the property. And then they used to farm and have barley crops mostly, but later on they put in oranges. When they got more water, they put in oranges and had oranges on the land.
And what part did your family get?
Well, we had just dry farmland where we were because it wasn't practical to raise anything else there. I mean, it would have cost too much money for the water for it and everything, and it was a clay soil, so you couldn't grow oranges on it too well, I wouldn't think.
Is it near some kind of development that we know the name of today?
It's near the Prado Dam now. The government bought it in, I guess about 20 years ago, the government bought the property. And it's where Prado used to be, near where Prado used to be, but the little town is no more since they put the dam in there. It's never filled up very much.
There was a town there before they built the dam?
Yes, uh-huh.
What was it like?
Well, it was just a small town, and it had about two stores and a post office and a pool hall and a railroad station. So when the people bought it for the dam, they moved the railroad further up on the hill so that it wouldn't be underwater, of course. And the little town just disappeared. It's not there anymore.
Is it like under where the water is?
No, the water probably comes up there sometimes, but not very often. We never had any big floods in there. But there is water in part of the dam now. It's a big territory. It takes in a lot of space.
And as long as we're talking about land, Mr. Carey told me that you had some oil wells.
Well, we have a share in the oil wells in the property near Yorba Linda, and they're way up on the hillside. And they produce some oil, but not an awful lot.
And from what part of your family did you acquire this?
It was my mother's share. My grandmother said that everyone should share in the oil because part of the property that had been her grandfather's, the land that her sister received, which is the Kramer ground, she married a man by the name of Samuel Kramer, and it just gushed oil. It just has all kinds of oil. And she didn't get any share of it. So she said that her children were all going to share in the oil. So I have my mother's share, which, well, there was four children. And so my mother had one share.
So your grandmother divided the oil, rice, and the land. Okay. When
you talked about going to high school, you talked about going
to basketball games and things, but you didn't really say what your role in these games was. I wonder if you could expand on that.
I played basketball every year that I was in high school, and I was on the team. Played jumping center all the time, and my sister was running center, and we really made the team, if I do say it myself. And we played Elsinore. We went up to Elsinore a couple of times and played them, and we went to Chino, and we played them. And Corona had never beaten Riverside, but we finally did beat them, which was really something. And we used to go to all the track meets. I used to do the 100-yard dash. I don't remember how fast I did it, but it was fast.
About 15 miles.
And I won a lot of prizes. They weren't all first prizes, but I had a lot of ribbons for my going into the events. And we used to do the shot put, and I was good at that. And the basketball distance, and the high hurdles, and the relay races, we used to do all those.
What's the difference between a learning center and a jumping center?
The jumping center has to hit the ball when it's thrown up. I think they play a little bit differently than they used to when I played. And the running center is supposed to catch it and throw it to one of the forwards. You're supposed to get it to the forward.
How come you got involved in all these athletic endeavors?
Well, that's what I like. I liked art, and I liked the athletic events, and I was good in both in art and in athletic events, and I liked biology and history.
You said your sister was also in the basketball team. Were other people in your family athletic?
No, not too much. Not as much as they were.
Going to go on the back of the, you know, the young.